Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I'll be speaking with two women who work for a legal transcription company that is looking for a number of work campers who want to work remotely wherever they travel. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey. It's a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50 plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, operating a small business on the road, plus all about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started, so for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Janice Brea is a recruiter with eScribers, and Dina Farbman is a work camper who's been supporting her travel lifestyle by doing legal transcriptions for quite some time. In the past, courts relied on stenographers to record every word of a legal proceeding. Today, judges and attorneys rely on digital recordings made from several microphones. Then transcribers capture the conversations in written form as part of the legal record. It's an important job because each hearing has to be clearly transcribed word for word. E-scribers develop tools to format the transcriptions in a specific way that can be used by courts and official agencies. However, the company provides training and software to transcribers to help them capture the proceedings. It can be tough sometimes to understand the legal language, but Jana said transcribers pick that up over time. In the beginning, they are assigned cases where all the legal language isn't used as often, such as small claims court or other government meetings. Because the transcription is so important, the company uses proofreaders to verify the text. Each transcriber is assigned to a specific proofer who helps ensure that they not only capture the language accurately, but also transcribe the hearing in the correct format. Once transcribers are comfortable in performing the work, then they can branch out to other jurisdictions where even more work is available. eScribers has punctuation and grammar courses available online to help transcribers get up to speed. In fact, the company seems to be very patient in helping new transcribers become proficient in their work. There's an unlimited amount of work available, so people can work as little as 3 hours a day, or 8 hours a day, or as long as they like, because the transcribers are independent contractors. That means they are self-employed in their own businesses, which entitles them to enjoy a variety of tax deductions too. Work campers need to have a laptop, headphones, and a foot pedal, but the equipment is not that expensive to acquire. To tell us more about this opportunity, please welcome Janice Brea and Dina Farbman from eScribers to the show. Thank you for joining us today, Dina and Janice. I appreciate the time. Tell us a little bit about eScribers and what it means and what it does.
Great. So eScribers is a legal transcription company. We have been around for about 15 years, I believe. Dina can correct me if I'm not getting that number right. And what we provide is basically transcription of primarily court hearings. So the way the courtrooms are set up in most places nowadays is, whereas traditionally you had the stenographer who was pretty much able to sit down and take down the hearing, we would hope word for word. Mm-hmm. And in most places they do continue to use stenographers, but they will always also record the hearings. So in courts that are relying primarily on the digital recording and transcription, they will have just the court reporter who is recording using different kind of equipment that can, you know, isolate microphones and make sure that they get a really clear record of what's going on. And then we will take those recordings and our transcribers will transcribe them in a kind of specialized format. So that the transcript is then available for the attorneys or anybody else that needs it.
Okay. So you take the recordings and then WordCampers would like download them or access them online and then transcribe them word for word, right? Very important that they do that.
Yes, very important word for word. And there are some rules about how much you can clean up. And this obviously differs from, you know, court to court or client to client. But yes, the verbatim transcription is super important in legal transcriptions because we're meant to be just taking down the record as it happens. We're not interpreting. We're not making any kind of changes because we don't know what can be significant to the record. And there's definitely even been entire appeals based on a comma that was missing.
Wow.
And yeah, and it really a lot of jobs or money or people's, you know, lives can hinge on a very small change. So it's a very, very big responsibility that we take seriously. And we are always looking for people who are, you know, willing to take on this responsibility. And it's a great flexible job that you could do from pretty much any location.
Now, is there a lot of legal language that people need to understand in order to do this job successfully?
Yes, so there can be. So what we do when we're bringing in people who are new to legal transcription is we'll start them out in a jurisdiction that maybe is less legal, so to speak.
Like small claims.
Small claims, or there's all sorts of things that happen in a courtroom that might be a little easier to learn. So we personally, we start people out in a courtroom such as the New York City Department of Education. It's a big one where they do special education appeals. So it's a little bit less formal than maybe a trial might be. So it's a little bit easier to kind of learn the transcription in that courtroom. We have a lot of resources. We have lists, glossaries, different ways to look things up. So we provide a lot of resources to get people acquainted with the different terminology and formatting that they might come across. And we also always start everybody out with a proofer who's really going to be walking them through their first few weeks to months in their work with e-scribers. So they work with the same proofreader who's going to be giving them feedback, pointing them to those resources, and helping them really get comfortable with the legal transcription. And then the goal is to have them branch out so that they're available to work in many different jurisdictions and many different types of court work.
Okay. Is being a good speller and command of the English language essential?
So I would say spelling is less important now because you do have spell check. So
okay.
Spell check is pretty reliable. Punctuation is a little more tricky, especially when you're taking down a verbal record. It's kind of different than the way you would punctuate if you were, you know, writing a book.
Yeah.
And also the legal expectations are a little bit different as far as the punctuation. Mm-hmm. So if you're a good if you read a lot, if you do have a good grasp of English and punctuation, that definitely helps. We definitely have people come in that are a little weak at punctuation, and we might point them to some online grammar courses and punctuation courses that'll help them get started with that. And our proofreaders as well, whenever they make a correction, they will explain to them maybe the punctuation rule that they're using. And the hope is that the transcriber will take that down, write that down, keep notes, sticky notes or whatever works for them. And we definitely have people that learn punctuation on the job.
Super. Because I would think it'd be difficult if you're doing a court proceeding when somebody's talking to have them stop and say, insert semicolon or comma here.
Right. Yes. And definitely starting out, the proofreader is making most of those corrections and pointing them out. And then, you know, the expectation is that they'll improve as they go.
Very good. And now, have you been employing work campers in this job for a while?
So first of all, I just want to be clear. It is a contract position. So we don't employ them. It's contractors. And work campers is something really that we've just started looking into recently because Dina, I think within the year, has moved into a van. And
in almost a year and a half.
Almost a year and a half, really?
Yeah.
So she's kind of been out there and said, hey, this is working for me. And, you know, she sees the community that's out there, which obviously I live in a boring old house and kind of stay in one place. So I wasn't aware that there was this kind of community out there. And, but the more we thought about it, the more we realized that, you know, for who needs flexible work more than a work camper who moves around and wants to be able to do, you know, the fun and interesting things that you guys seem to get to do all the time. But you know, you still need a job or you need some sort of income coming in.
That's right. So basically whoever does this needs an internet connection and electricity. And they can pretty much do the job.
Yes, you need a Windows computer, which could be a laptop. Mm-hmm. You need Microsoft Word, which is just by subscription, a good internet connection, and electricity. That helps, and you're good to go.
Okay, and this sounds like it'd be an opportunity available year-round. It's not seasonal at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. There was a time when I might have said maybe, you know, it does slow down a little bit in the summer, or maybe over Christmas holidays, it's not as busy. But we have expanded tremendously, especially post-COVID. We are very, very busy now and don't expect it to slow down at all. And we also have started working with some jurisdictions that we know are just going to provide us a plentiful amount of work year-round without a pause. And of course, you know, people do want to take vacations at the end of the summer or Christmas, and that's when the attorneys tend to go on vacation. That's when the courts maybe aren't open all the time. So that's a great time to, you know, say, okay, I'm not available this week, and mm-hmm. we wouldn't really hurt that much by everybody dropping off. But just the number of courts that we work with and the size of our team, we could pretty much offer people work whenever they wanted.
Okay. How many hours would you say they typically work?
So that's a great question, because we have, you know, a number of contractors. Some work exclusively for eScribers. We do have people that, you know, work for different, you know, they contract to different companies or different court reporters. So it's hard for me to say how much people work. We definitely have people that work for us like a full-time job. They sit down in the morning and they transcribe for 8 hours, and then they, you know, go about their day. I usually tell people starting out, there is a certain investment of time that you're going to need to put in because you're learning a new skill. So we generally will consider a new transcriber who can pretty much count on having 3 to 4 hours a day, most days of the week, just to give them make sure they've got the headspace to really get started. Like I mentioned, review the feedback they're getting from their proofreader, be able to comfortably, you know, make any corrections or do anything that their proofreader is asking them to. Once you've mastered the skill is when it becomes super flexible, because, you know, you've already learned it, you already know how to do it, and you can sit down anytime, take the work if you want it. And, you know, if you're not available, you're just not available. But we are looking for people who can transcribe about, you know, about 10 hours a week would be a good starting ballpark.
Okay, 10 hours a week minimum to start, with unlimited opportunity if they wanted to. And it sounds like it's super flexible. So if somebody was going to go to a national park, for example, they could do some transcribing and then take a few days off in the middle of the week when the crowds aren't there and go out and explore and come back and do their transcribing in the weekend if they wanted to.
Sure. And you can work in the middle of the night as long as you're meeting your deadlines. We have a really nice platform set up where basically our transcribers tell us how many minutes of audio they're available to transcribe on a given day. And we won't assign them more than that. And again, they can do that any time of day or night, as long as they're hitting their deadlines. And then if they are going to be gone, like you said, a few days in the national park, there's a vacation suspend feature where they put in the date that they're going to be coming back, that they're not available until. And you are show up on our list as unavailable, and we won't assign you any work.
Okay, very good.
Personally, yeah. I really like working Eastern time zone hours and being in Pacific or Mountain time. And mm-hmm. so I wake up early and I put in my hours, and then my day is done. You know, I've still got plenty of time to go explore. I mean, I work full time, so I'm putting in the 8 hours, but at 2:30 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. I can go wherever I want to go.
Now, Dina, how long have you been doing this?
I have started living in my van a year and a half ago. I'm not sure if that was your question. I've been with the company for 13 years, and I started as a transcriber. I moved into proofreading, and then I moved into management. And at this point, I'm the manager of basically all our transcribers and proofreaders. So for me, it's definitely a minimum of 8 hours a day, but I still have seen so many amazing, wonderful things because there's just such flexibility. I can go anywhere. You know, my mm-hmm. personal style is I work all day, and then I'll go drive somewhere for a couple hours, and then I'll stay there for a few days and explore in the afternoon. It's mm-hmm. just
so you're managing a company from a van.
I am.
That's incredible.
I am.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. I love
it. This is something that somebody could easily do from in an RV.
It is. I had to do a little bit. Well, I was going to say a little bit of upgrading. I added a Wii Boost so that I didn't have weak signals. When you're transcribing, you need to be able to download a pretty heavy audio and then upload your file later. You also want to be able to do research. So you need to have consistent internet, and you have to have good internet when you're downloading that heavy duty audio. Other than that, as long as you've got basic, you know, a basic connection, you're fine. But if you want to be kind of, if you want to really boondock, then having that Wii Boost just gives you that comfort that you're not going to have to go find some cafe when you're in the middle of nowhere and there are no cafes. Mm-hmm. I have 100 watts on my roof.
Wow.
And that's it. And I do have a solar suitcase, but I stopped using that when I put the 100 on the roof. It's enough as long as, you know, it's not overcast for days on end. It's enough to keep my my laptop charged.
Sure.
And do what I need to do.
But if an RV is plugged into shore power at a campground, they shouldn't have any problem at all.
No problem at all, except it's just not my world. I love the boondocking. Mm-hmm. So yes, but that's foreign to me.
Now, as far as physical space, is there a minimum amount that you would think people would need to do this job successfully?
Physical space in your rig?
Yes.
I have a table, dining table that swivels, and that's my desk, and that's plenty of space. I mean, all you need is your laptop, headphones, a foot pedal. Foot pedal is important, and that's it.
Okay. Equipment now, as wise. Independent contractors, you have to buy this equipment yourself, right? You're not employers, so you're not providing that equipment. Am I correct, Janice?
Yes, you have to purchase your own equipment. Okay. But like Dina said, it's a laptop. It's a foot pedal, which is what the transcribers use to play the audio. Since you can't type as fast as someone can speak typically, yeah. You basically, you know, your hands are busy typing and your foot is down there, and it's like driving a car. You put your foot down, it plays the audio, you pick your foot up, it stops, it backspaces a couple seconds. So that's really important, especially for someone starting out who doesn't want to have to, you know, learn how to use hotkeys and all that. But that's like a $60 piece of equipment. So not a horrible investment. And then headphones, because you can't transcribe what you can't hear. You need that sound going straight into your ears. Noise canceling is preferred. Mm-hmm. But I personally use a $35 pair of Sonys that are wonderful. And I never felt the need to spend any more than that on a pair of headphones.
Okay, that's fair enough. Are there any qualifications or traits that you're looking for in the transcribers?
So really, intelligence. You know, you are transcribing court hearings, so it does take brain work. It's more interesting, but also a little more challenging than data entry, for example. You need to be able to do a lot of things kind of simultaneously. So you're going to be listening, you're going to be typing, you're going to be formatting, and you're going to be, you know, fixing punctuation. And sometimes that is a two-step process. You do have to kind of transcribe and then go back and proofread your work. But again, you're kind of a lot of moving pieces there. So it can be a little challenging starting out. Basic computer knowledge, nothing terribly techie, but the ability to download files and then find them again on your computer. We do use Google Docs. So, you know, we can help you learn how to do that, but you do need to have enough computer knowledge to be able to you know, create a Google Doc, fill it in, and collaborate with other transcribers there. We do have templates that will take care of most of the formatting. So a transcript has some very specific formatting. There's usually a cover page. There's often an appearances page where they'll write out the people who are at the hearing. And then there are headers and footers in most cases. And then the page numbers themselves have lines. The lines are numbered for reference for the attorneys. And then there's different formatting that happens depending on what goes on in the hearing. So if they admit an exhibit, there's often a blurb that goes with that. If they examine a witness, there'll be a format called Q&A. So our templates do have a lot of macros and keyboard shortcuts and things that the transcribers will use to make sure everything's formatted correctly. So while it does take care of a lot of that kind of formatting for the transcriber. They don't have to go back and look up how to do different, how everything's supposed to appear on the transcript. That also can be kind of a sticking point for somebody who's not so flexible when it comes to learning how to use a new app or a new tool in the computer. Mm-hmm. So some computer, basic computer knowledge or the ability to learn new computer tools. You could tell I'm not a techie because that's what I call it. And I'm sure it's not the correct term. But like I said, I'm not a techie, but I can use a computer. I can kind of follow instructions and learn how to use a new app or a new tool pretty well. So that's important as well. Okay. And again, the ability to punctuate, the ability to use mm-hmm. proper grammar is important. So they don't. And obviously native English language, you have to speak and use English as a native English speaker.
So they don't need to be like a writer author kind of thing. They just have to have a good command of the English language and know when a period would be most applicable versus a comma.
Absolutely. Right.
One of the things I've always said is you don't have to have the vocabulary. You just have to be familiar with this might be a word and be willing to look it up if you don't know it.
Okay.
And one other thing I wanted to add is that eScribers is one of the only companies that is not just open to having new transcribers working with us, but we've created a ton of systems to help people who've never transcribed before figure out how to do it well. And those macros, those templates that Janice was mentioning, they're amazing in that they really make it easy for a transcriber to focus on the things that only they can do, putting the words on the page, and the formats are very much taken care of for them. But we have a great system for mentoring and those resources. It makes it easy for someone who's never done it before to get absorbed into the system, into the industry.
Now, do the transcribers have to have a, like paralegal background or anything like that? Or is it just basically open to anybody?
No, you don't need to have a paralegal background. Like I said, we have an amazing mentoring program that's there in place for them. I get the most pleasure out of taking a brand new transcriber and then watching them progress until they get to the point where they are,
powerhouses.
Transcribing in powerhouses. And I've had nursing students. I have stay-at-home moms. Teenagers. And people who've been out of the workforce, a lot of times you'll get that. There's a mom that took some time off to take care of her kids and they're in school now. And she's like, I want to go back to work, but I haven't been part of the workforce for 10 years. And I still want to have some flexibility in case somebody gets sick.
Yes.
So we have a lot of people like that apply. And it gives me a lot of pleasure to be able to say, yes, that's something that you can do. And they come in and they start from just the very beginning, and just to watch them expand their knowledge base and expand, the amount of work they're able to take and get to the point where I see their name all the time coming up as a transcriber on this or commenting on our Google group post, giving advice or helping out other transcribers. That really is the best part of my job.
Okay. And what you talked about the hiring process, or describe that for us.
Sure. So the first step in, applying is to go to our website. We have a special website, recruitment website. It's www.escribers.team, T-E-A-M. And it's pretty self-paced. You'll start out by filling out some basic information, like a little questionnaire. It'll ask you for your name, your phone number, a mailing address, the amount of time you expect to have available, any kind of relevant experience you've had. There's a place to upload a resume. It's not required, but I usually like to see what people have been doing for the past few years. And then there's a grammar quiz to take and a transcription sample. So the grammar quiz is, it gives me kind of an idea of where people are grammar and punctuation wise. I don't give as much weight to it because I could usually get a pretty good idea of people's punctuation skills just by their transcription sample. Now the transcription test is where people get a little nervous, especially if you're brand new. So the first thing we'll suggest is if you've never transcribed before, there are tips for how to practice right there on the website. So there's some, you can download the players ahead of time. It'll give you some ideas of where to find audio files to practice with. And when I review the test or evaluate the test, I really don't expect to see a powerhouse transcript, you know, right from the start. So people shouldn't worry if, you know, they didn't get everything right, or they couldn't hear everything, or they don't know where to type in the sample. I definitely take into account that people are new to transcription. It kind of gives me an idea of their starting point and if it's relevant. So if, you know, there are times when I might say, hey, you need to practice a little bit more and come back in a couple months and I'll test you again. And we're always happy to give people redos. But generally, we're pretty able to work with anybody that tests as long as they show some basic, you know, ability on that transcription sample.
Are they, are people supposed to type at a specific speed?
So the typing speed is really the last thing I'm worried about, for the simple reason that if you're going to type every single day for 2 or 3 hours, your speed is going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So usually that's more from their perspective. If they're typing very slowly, they're probably not ready to get started, just because it'll be a frustrating experience for them to try to learn to transcribe while they're learning to type at the same time. So a good ballpark is to start, if you can type 50 words per minute, that's fine. If you're any slower than that, you might want to work on your typing speed for a little bit before applying or while you're applying. But it shouldn't take long to get there if you're, you know, that's really the easiest piece to, for people to improve on, because it does improve with practice.
Okay. You had mentioned deadlines. What are the deadlines involved with?
So that, I get that question all the time. So the deadlines, obviously when a client orders a transcript, so they have a deadline that they have in mind. So we, you know, we'll give out a transcript sometimes on a daily basis where the transcript is due back to the client the next day. There's 3 days, there's 10 days, there's 30 days, but that's really when it needs to get to the client. As far as when we assign the work out to the transcriber, we're going to look at how much audio or how much transcribing they have told us they want to do, and we'll make their due date based on that. So that, you know, if they say we'd like to transcribe 30 minutes on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so we might give them 30 minutes on Monday due the next day. We might give them 60 or 90 minutes due in 2 or 3 days. We might give them 300 minutes due a week out, depending if we've got that much time before it has to go to the client. So it's really based on what the transcriber has told us they want to do. So that does a couple things. First of all, you know, it helps the transcriber feel like she's actually going to get the work that she's requested, because here it is. I've asked for the work and here it is right there in my job queue. It also builds in a little cushion. So, you know, people, you know, their computers crash, life happens, you get sick, you know, something happens. So it does build in a little cushion so that we can either give an extension or possibly have time to reassign it if we need to.
Okay, very good. Now, you said these are independent contractors. So, Dina, you are a small business owner then of your own, right? Did you have to incorporate, or are you just a sole proprietor?
Oh, I don't own the company.
No, I mean for yourself, you're as an independent contractor. So they just pay you independently and you're responsible for all your taxes, et cetera. But as an RVer or somebody living in a van, you also get to deduct some expenses like your cell phone and your internet connections and equipment that you might need and all of that. Those are legitimate business deductions.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So there is an interesting bill that's being looked at, which could make it really important for people to become LLCs, but you don't have to. And even if you aren't an LLC, you still can take the deductions for your phone and your internet and all of that, just as you would in a house. You know, in a house, you can deduct for the room that's your office. Well, my entire van is my room. So there you go. But yeah, you would be working for yourself. In practical terms, it really isn't any different than being an employer in that regard, or an employee in that regard. In practical terms, where it's really wonderful is you can work when you want to work and you don't have to work. You know, we can't say you have to be here from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday or else we won't use you. No, that's the contractor's choice to set your hours.
Okay, so. Fair enough. How many work campers do you think you'd need to contract with?
Oh my goodness, that's a hard question, because right now we are basically opening the doors wide. We do not have enough transcribers right now to cover the work that we have coming in, and our work is only expanding. So I'm saying the more the merrier. Obviously, we're not going to be bringing in 500 people this year, but I would even say, 20, 30, 50, people.
Okay.
We can absorb those easily.
So you need more than one or two is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yes. There's not a lot of competition here. Are we? There are not enough legal transcribers in the United States to cover. As you know, we're a very litigious society, and there's a lot of court hearings of all types going on. A lot of transcripts being made. So we are able to make transcribers. If you want to transcribe and you want to learn a new skill, come on aboard.
What can work campers do to really stand out with their application?
Probably I'll look at a couple things. I probably will look at their availability, meaning if they're only going to be available a month or two or a year or a couple hours three times a week, it's probably not going to work out just because they're not going to make the progress they need to in order for it to be worth their time. Mm-hmm. So I'll look for somebody who really wants to have a steady job with us. Like I said, 3 to 4 hours a day starting out is probably minimum. And again, this is more for them than for us because you will be learning a new skill. There is a lot of review that has to happen. We'll start them out with really just a small amount of actual transcription. But if they don't have time to sit and review the comments and the feedback from their proofer, if they don't have time to respond to their proofer's emails or take the steps that their proofer is asking them to take, they're not going to move ahead with it. So it really just be a waste of a couple weeks of their lives if they didn't have time for that. So that's probably the main thing I'm going to look at starting out is, are you actually available for this on a pretty regular basis? And then the next thing I would look at is probably their tests. Do they have good grammar? Do they have, were they able to kind of figure out as much as is possible, what the transcript is kind of supposed to look like? Cause like I said, we do provide a sample, to type into. There is a little paragraph there showing what the transcript is supposed to look like. So even if this is the first legal transcript you've ever looked at, it looks very good if they're able to look at that transcript and say, oh, I kind of see how this is supposed to be. The judge is called the court and the speaker tag is in all caps with a colon. And they want, and I'm going to look at the paperwork and I'm going to make sure I'm spelling the other attorney's names right.
It would be helpful.
Right. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. And then, here's the bankruptcy term. Well, I don't know anything about it, but I bet if I Google, bankruptcy arrearage, it might tell me what it means and how to spell it. That kind of thing is what I'm really looking at. And that does make a new transcriber stand out.
Okay.
It probably won't disqualify them if they don't do that, but it definitely will make me put, a nice little check mark next to their name as somebody who shows a lot of potential.
Let me ask the question that's probably on everybody's mind. How much money can they make doing this thing?
Fantastic. That's a great question. So it is independent contractor work. The standard, typically in legal transcription, the contractors are paid per transcript page. So I can give you a page rate, but it's not going to mean very much to you. So the page rates are about between $1.10 per page to $1.75 or $2 for maybe a shorter turnaround time. And that also depends on the jurisdiction and how much is actually typed on the page. Practically, it comes out to a decent transcriber, like someone who's been transcribing for maybe 3 or 4 or 5 months, has got their skill up to where they're able to transcribe quickly and efficiently, can make between about $12 to $20 an hour. And there's a lot of factors that play into that. There are definitely speed tricks that transcribers use. They learn to use shortcut keys. So they make all sorts of little kind of briefs or codes in there that if they type YH, it'll expand to Your Honor in the transcript, that kind of thing. So that saves keystrokes. Their ability to use our templates and the macros and tools are definitely going to speed them up because their transcripts will be set up. They will be making a lot of changes in editing. And whether they're able to take the shorter turnaround work, which is the daily work or the same day work, which is kind of by volunteer basis and pays obviously at a much higher rate because we don't have as much wiggle room as far as when we can get that out.
Okay.
So those are all things that will factor into that. And I always make it very clear. So starting out, we do limit the actual amount of transcription that the new contractors will be doing because you are kind of learning as you go. So you will be limited to maybe 10 pages a day, but you're probably going to be spending your good, like I said, 3 or 4 hours working on those pages, getting them to where they're client ready and helping them learn what it's supposed to look like and what it's supposed to do. So for the beginning, you're not going to be earning a whole lot of money, but that first 3 or 4 weeks is really just an investment in learning the skill. And our goal is really by the time between 3 and 6 weeks is where you're really going to be able to take the higher volumes of work. You'll be working with a little, you know, less support, working more independently. And that's when you're really going to start seeing a decent paycheck come in.
Sure. Dina, do you have any advice for work campers?
Specific to this job, I would just say, because there is so much to learn, it's worth really looking at the website, the .team website, and figuring out if it feels like a good fit for you, because you don't want to jump in thinking, oh, I can do this anywhere, and then realize 2 weeks in, wow, I really hate typing. not a good move. In general, gig work is neat, but it's a lot of work to always be thinking about, do I need to start a new gig this season? Do I have enough to get through the next season? Where do I want to be? Do I want to be there for 3 months, or do I want to keep moving? And choosing transcribing as a work camper job means that you can change your plans on a whim. You can be like, oh, I'm bored of being here, I'm going to go somewhere else. And you don't have to worry about your income. You're still going to be doing the exact same thing every day or every week, setting your availability, changing your availability according to where you want to, like what days you want to work and what days you want off. But it doesn't matter. We don't care what you're looking at outside your window. So you can move as much as you want. I've absolutely loved being able to work remotely.
That's great. Where can people get more information if they'd like to apply or learn more about the company?
So they can email me directly. So they can email me at team, T-E-A-M, at eScribers.net. Those emails go straight to me. Any questions they have, I'm happy to answer them. And the application would be at that website, the www.eScribers.net. T-E-A-M.
Very good.
And that's where they get all their information there. And I'm the nice thing about people who are familiar with transcription work know that a lot of these websites that you apply for transcription jobs, there's no people behind them. They're just basically an algorithm. But this website, I'm there. I'm monitoring it. I am the person behind it. And anything that they need to ask, you know, if you start your test and you can't finish it and you don't forget, they'll say, oh, forget it, they're going to knock me off. I'm not going to knock you off. I might even reach out to you and say, hey, what happened? Do you need any help? So they shouldn't hesitate to reach out to me by email. I'll be happy to help them out, answer any questions, whether it's to figure out if this is a good fit for them or help them get set up in a way to make it successful.
That's excellent. Well, I really appreciate the time that you folks gave us. And it sounds like an ideal opportunity for work campers and people who are looking to support their travel lifestyle. So I appreciate you talking to us about it.
No problem. I'm happy to be speaking to you, and I hope we can really help some people out.
Thank you for the opportunity to tell the work camper community about our company.
I really appreciate Janice Brea and Dina Farbman for coming on the show to talk about what appears to be a very lucrative opportunity for work campers to work their own schedules wherever they wish to travel or even at home. Dina likes boondocking, which means she's not hooked up to a campground electricity or a campground's internet services. Still, eScribers gives her the flexibility to spend time traveling all over America. eScribers has supported her travel lifestyle for more than a year and a half. She set up a tiny workplace in her van and utilizes a WeBoost signal booster to download files and upload transcriptions. Legal transcription is more challenging than data entry, yet it still requires work campers to be comfortable using computers and software. eScribers trains transcriptionists how to use macros and other tools to speed their work and ensure the transcripts are properly formatted. The only really important skill is that transcribers have command of the English language. So if English isn't your native language, this might not be a good opportunity for you. Work campers are compensated at a rate of $1.10 to $2 per page, depending upon the deadline. Still, it is possible for independent contractors to earn $12 to $20 per hour. They'll make less while they're learning the system, but once they get up to speed within a few weeks, it sounds like an opportunity to make money indoors at your own pace, wherever you may be parked. For more information about the company, visit www.escribers.net. That's escribers.net. If you'd like to become a transcriber, visit www.escribers.team or email team@escribers.net. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from WorkCamper is designed specifically for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you're taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is way too short, so choose what you want to do, when you want to do it, by starting a small business of your own. For more information, visit www.smallbizrvr.com. That's all I have for this week's show. Next week, I'll be speaking to a couple who makes a very good income by keeping people healthy. They'll describe how a specific network marketing opportunity helped them become healthy, wealthy campers, and how others can do the same. I'll have more information on that on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.